Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. The other day I gave a talk and I mentioned that air pollution destroys nursery grounds of sharks. Of course, that raised a few hands. Understandably, since what does a chimney in Central Europe have to do with a shark nursery ground somewhere in the Pacific? Although the topic of the given talk was something else, it took such a turn when I said that the whole rest of the presentation needed to be winked. The connection of air pollution and nursery ground destruction is actually quite simple. Air pollution adds to global warming. I think we can all agree to that. Just simple carbon dioxide. That leads to a warming of the atmosphere and the melting of the polar caps, and an increase of the water level happens. And here comes the kicker. The increase of water level makes the nursery grounds more accessible for larger sharks. Of course, it's not as drastic in the beginning as I mentioned here, but that is actually what's going to happen. That the nursery grounds, which are always in shallow water, most of the time at least, are there because of the protection from larger sharks. So if now the larger sharks have access to the nursery grounds, well, the babies are doomed. Just consider a spring tide and voila, a large shark can access the nursery grounds. So what happens if it can be natural? I mean, if the water level is that high that they can come in and just feed on babies, on pups? Well, it's not a good scenario. Still, the increase of water level is not as pressing as other factors at the moment that already destroy our nursery grounds or just forcing pups to leave the areas. We have shoreline erosions, destruction of mangrove fields, plastic accumulation, and on and on. Some of the effects are not that obvious, but crucial nonetheless. Just picture this. A high percentage of first-year sharks won't make it. They don't make it. When it comes to lemon shark pups, it can be anywhere between 60 or 70% or sometimes even higher. So the rest may have a chance to reach the third year, but the larger they get, the more they have to start hunting in deeper water, and that means more exposure to larger sharks that feed on smaller sharks. During that talk I gave, I have also been asked if one could raise sharks. Well, that would actually solve the problem, right? Well, it happened for cat sharks in aquariums and others like that, and even some live birth of larger species. But the whole issue is so complex that raising sharks to that extent that it would be needed is pretty much impossible, especially when it comes to the super predators out there. But even if we could make a birth happen, this is not the tricky part. The tricky part comes after the baby is born. What must it feed on? Must it have a different diet once it survived the first stage, and so on? Even if we could raise some species, the work and energy, and so the money that has to be put into it, is beyond possible. So does this mean with all the destruction happening around the shore areas that the sharks are doomed? Unfortunately, yes, pretty much. But before we lose all the nursery grounds, the ecological time bomb of overfishing sharks has already gone off. We all keep talking about global warming, pollution, polar cap melting, and so on, and rightly so. But in my mind, it's the overfishing of sharks that will trigger much earlier global destruction than any of the currently talked problems. Sharks are still the most abundant top predators on our planet, over 50 kilograms or 100 pounds. So they still control the majority of marine food webs. Once their density drops below the level where they can maintain this control, the marine food webs will fall apart. No one knows how deep this destruction will go, but it is very likely that even the teleosts, the bony fish, wouldn't be able to stop it. And when that happens, we're all doomed. I hope that this apocalyptic scenario will never occur, but what are the chances? We still kill 70 million sharks each year, maybe more, maybe a bit less. But the last estimation of the remaining sharks lays in around 2.5 billion sharks. So even if we would kill less sharks, how quickly would we reach the level where everything falls apart? 10 years? 15 years? Definitely not longer. So we need to do something here and now, and can't wait until a smarter generation may step in. It will be too late for them. The only solution I see is a moratorium for sharks, all of them in all the oceans. Is that possible? I doubt that the current state we are globally in. Just consider all the political turmoils on the wars on this planet. Everything seems more important than protecting sharks. Do you think all these nations can put their disputes aside and join a single cause? Hell no. So that's the answer to our most pressing problems we have on this planet. It won't happen, despite all the efforts of all the NGOs, or even some governmental agencies and citizen groups. We cannot stop the destruction of sharks. The overfishing keeps going on. It's a rather dark future we are heading to. I keep fighting my fight and still hope that maybe sometimes something happens, something good, and that none of us had on their screens. So let us all think about how we can turn the rudder around one more time. Okay? That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.